mean...
Well, I mean, the goal isn't to just, you know, all of a sudden do 15 and hand them to you. It's like, you know, trickle two or three at a time.
We're past the trickle at a time. There's only how many more weeks in school?
Three weeks.
So we're way past trickling. When you're at week 12, winding down week 12, isn't that what we're at? Winding down week 12?
Yeah, but I mean, if I have, give or take, about 15 assignments left to do, and I trickle on average about, if we say, 6 a week, that's not that bad.
That's not like, known as a trickle.
That's like one a day. That's a late drizzle.
Huh? All right, I am looking at ADO, add, delete. I have it under 13 to differentiate my fix, but yours, I believe, is working just fine. If it isn't working just fine, the only problem is that remove statement that I got in trouble on. And then went back and added, so that's the only thing that's missing. We're talking about the remove statement right there. Okay, so if yours doesn't have this line, it should have that line. So the one from that you download should have that line. I think I fixed it, but there are times when my version, I go kind of nuts trying to figure out which version is which. So, somebody that's brought it up, will you tell me if that line is there?
Yeah, it's
in there. It is in the routine called button change database. And it's right up above the end try. Okay. Then you're fine. Okay. First of all, I made this a data set, even though there was only one table, mainly because I kind of sometimes do data sets and sometimes do tables. But on this particular one, I made it a data set, so I have to tell it that it's table zero. So, in fact, that line that we just talked about says table zero to tell me that it's the first table, which, in fact, is the only table. Okay, so I've got a database. I've got a path. I have put everything together. I have to have this statement command builder if I am going to be updating. Okay, so if I am going to make additions, changes, and deletions, I need to have that command builder in there. Okay, so I put the command builder in, and I put in a currency manager. So this particular one is using a currency manager. You don't have to use the currency manager, but it's a way to move around easily from record to record. And so I set up the currency manager. And other examples I've done, I've not done the currency manager. Okay, but this one I did. So I now come back and I have my load. Okay, so in my load, I basically am establishing that I'm using this particular table of stew. And then I went down here and I had to essentially do this binding to the data. And let me kind of talk about that for a second. I did it two ways. I did it one way and then said, why did I do it that way? And I changed it. And they both seemed to work. The difference is that new binding, it apparently does not need that. At least I haven't been able to figure out that it needs it. When I was building it, I thought it did, and I put that new binding in. Then I took it out and it worked fine. I've commented these out now, but I've rotated back and forth between which is commented out. So if you look at different versions, this may get commented out. But I left them both in. It apparently understood the binding. So what I basically did is I said, okay, go to table, and I can either pick table 0, because it's the first table, or I can give the name of the table. So in this one I put table 0, in this one I put the name of the table. And then I was copying and pasting, so the rest of them picked up the name of the table. So I am basically binding the data that's out on the table to the text box. Okay, I'm binding it to the text box so that it knows what text box this data is associated with. So I'm binding the data to the text box. Okay. And then I am writing that last line in there is basically saying, okay, now that everything's set up, I'm going to be using the currency manager. And if you look down below, I have the currency manager is my... What just happened? Apparently I closed this by mistake at some point. All right, whatever. So if you look down below, using the currency manager means I can do these very simple, just move forward and backward kind of things. And so that's what I did here, was I wanted the simple moves, and I had the currency manager. Okay. Now, updating is tricky. And this one is all code I wrote as opposed to using the wizard. So this is code that I wrote. And basically, if you look at the form, again, I have here, I want to be able to add to the data set. So that would allow me to insert a record. I want to be able to delete a record from the data set. And I can change, because I have these text boxes, and I can just go up and change something. Okay, so it allows me to do all of them. Once I have got the data set the way I want it, I click on Change Database, and that changes the database. So one more time, let me just run through how putting some data in this. Okay, if I say I want to add to the data set, I come here and I say, okay, I want to add number 5612. And that's going to be Jim Rogers. And it is going to have, he's going to have a CI major. He is going to be from Fall River. MA. GPA of 3.3, year entered 2008, and number of credits 56. Okay, so I have now created that person. And if I go in far enough, okay, oh, it's at the end. At the beginning, it puts it at the end. I wasn't thinking. Once I have saved and reloaded, it will put it in order. But it will throw it in at the end, the way I'm doing the insert. So it's throwing it in at the end. So I've got that record, and it's all been added. Now, if I leave here without doing the change database, it's gone. Because I've only impacted the data set that is in memory. Okay, so now, let's say I go back to the first one, and I'm going to make David 2009. I don't remember what he was before. And we'll give him 36 credits. Okay, so I've made that change. I'm now going to go to the last... And when I come back to the first, notice I made the change in the data set. Just by changing it, I made the change in the data set. Okay? So now I'm going to click on Change Database. And I'm going to end. And then I'm going to run again. Okay, so David comes up with the new numbers that I put in. So that has been permanently changed. And if I go on to 5-6, what did I just do? 5-6-1-2, there's the person that I entered. Okay, and they're there. So, I've got my database there. Again, if you want to prove that you've got your database, if you go into, I think I'm on the F drive. And you go into the database. And you open the table, you'll see that the information about David did get changed and the 5612 did get added. Okay, so the data is part of the database. Okay. So that's the key thing, is you have to do that update. Yeah, Max?
So this is opening the entire table into memory through our data set, basically?
I doubt it very much.
Okay.
I think it's smarter than that.
What happens, you know, when you have a company-wide, multi-table?
Right. It's smarter than that. Okay. And, in fact, it's probably setting up a temporary area at some point. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I honestly don't know. That's one of the wonderful things about being a programmer, is there are certain things that you can just say, do your thing. Just do it right. And I'm afraid that that's where my intellectual curiosity ends.
See, that's why.
And that's why you and I are not compatible. Oh, no.
All day, I back away from when it starts getting into.
I know programmers that have to know all those details as well. I just kind of basically figure I have enough that I have to learn to make it work. So, but what it's doing is it's keeping a data set. What it's actually keeping and how many records and how it's going in and out and what it's doing is fine. But until you actually change the database, it hasn't taken. And as I said, I did this in a separate thing just to kind of illustrate it. But lots of times people do it all at once. But then again, you have the problem of, do I want to keep going out to the physical location every time I do something, or do I want to mass them up and then go to the physical location occasionally? Okay. And that's a time measurement. Okay, so if I click on the delete, and then, what was the other button called? This is the button add and button delete. Okay, so if I go to button delete, it just does a remove. And this is one of the nice things about the currency manager, because the currency manager keeps track of where I am. So I can just say remove the current position that the currency manager is at. So I can just do a easy remove using the currency manager, and that's one of the reasons why I bothered to set up the currency manager, is it makes life easy. Okay. Button add, which is the one above, I set up a new row, okay, and then I just take the data from the input boxes and put it in the new record, and then I add the record. But again, I've added it into the data set. Okay, I've added it into the data set. And it gets added in, and it is now in the data set. Then I do a change. Now, I ran into problems at one point doing the update. If I had made a change, if the last thing that I did was make a change, I don't think it takes until you move off the change. So I type away, but until I move off the change, it doesn't take, and it wasn't taking. So what I found was that if I just do a bloop, bloop, it will then take. And so that's what that little set of, if current position, da-da, subtract and then add, and then add and then subtract, it's a blip blip. Go to the next record, come back. Go to the previous record, come back. And it's just doing that. And then I did the update. And as I said, I had the update in there before. And the problem, it was fine if I was doing an add. It was fine if I was doing a delete. But if I was doing a change, and I last thing I did was a change, again, my surmise, although I have yet to be able to comb through the documentation and get a validation of that surmise, but my surmise is that it didn't take when I was changing a record and I stayed on that record. And so doing that little blip blip, and it doesn't hurt anything, got me so that everything took.
I'd have to assume that if it's because it's creating a workspace in between the two, that workspace isn't finalized until you move off the record.
That was my assumption. Exactly. That's exactly what my assumption was. And I don't even remember, I did this a few years ago, whether I found a hint about this someplace, reading one of the blogs or something, and I found a hint about it, whether I found something in a book about it. Don't even remember where I got it, but I know I went searching because I was having this problem with making a change to a record. And I found that if I moved off the record and did something else, or just moved off the record, that the change took. But if I stayed on the record, it didn't. Well, that's a little too much to ask of a user to, okay, if the last thing you did is a change, you got to remember to move off. So basically, I coded the, I got to move off. And I could have coded it as just a move off, but I just did a blip blip of, I'll move off and then I'll come back. And the only reason I needed an if was if I was at the end, then I needed to back up. Okay? So if I was at the end, I needed to back up and come forward. If I wasn't at the end, I could go forward and then back up. Then I did an update. And the update is the one that actually puts it out on the database. And this is my duplicate problem. That if I am doing a duplicate, adding a duplicate, the same thing that I did on the others, the duplicate goes into the data set. It's a problem when I go to the database. And so that will get rid of it from the data set. So that is the code to do an update. Okay. So the next thing I did was I went in and did as I told you what your book did, which was the insert. And my problem was I got the insert all done, and then I started playing around with it and doing the adds and deletes. And I was stupid. And I didn't change the name of it. So I wanted to keep the original, which I had 5,000 copies of. And I also wanted to keep the name. And I just, because I did this with the wizard, I just did not want to change the name. Okay, there was no way I wanted to change the name. So if you look, I just put it out under on the server under another folder. And you've got now Insert Wiz twice, one's in a folder and one's not in a folder. Okay, so the one inside the folder is Insert Change Delete Wizard. But if you click on Insert Change Delete Wizard, Insert Wizard comes up again. Okay, and that was just my being stupid. But I just kept going with it, and then I really didn't want to get very nervous about making changes with the wizard. So, I am looking at Insert Wizard. Now, in order to do this, first of all, notice that this has been done with the wizard. And so all of this stuff is down below. Set up the data set, set up the binding, set up the data adapter. All of that stuff is down below. Okay? So that tells me that I did the wizard. And basically when I was doing the wizard, I went through and did the regular stuff so that if I bring up another version of Visual Studio, okay, so you remember when you're doing the wizard, you give it test, wizard, whatever. I browse. I'm going to put this out on my ADO. Select the folder, okay, and say okay. And again, if you have the Express version, you have to wait to come over here and do a save as. Okay. So again, remember that you get your data all set up by going into Data, Add New Data Source. And then you go into the database and say Next, and the data set and say Next, and you give it a connection string. Okay, now the problem with the connection string is, notice this little line down here, the Do Not Copy. Okay? Up until now, we haven't been doing add changes and deletes with the wizard. So I told you you could pick a database from any place and go ahead and use it, and it would just make a copy for you to use, and that's not a big problem when you're just accessing and bringing out information. But now that I have the ability to add, change, and delete, I do not want a copy because it does this nasty little thing of the next time you run it, it gives you another copy. Okay, so you can absolutely get lost on what's going on. So you can still do what I said, which is tell it to do a connection. But then when you do, come back here and change the copy to do not copy. Okay, so you can still lie to the wizard and say, oh yeah, I'm going to let you copy. But when you come back here, click on this, and those are your options. And it says it will take the copy always. So you're going to see copy always. And so you have to change it to do not copy. Okay, and then it does that kind of initial copy when you're creating it, puts a copy in the debug bin, but then it won't copy after that. The other thing to do, obviously, I'm beginning to wonder if we can check and see how many minutes late you always are. Okay. I'm going to see if we can set a record. 24. Okay, so we're going to watch this and compare the next time. 24. That's almost half the time. Okay, so you're going to click on Do Not Copy, okay? The other thing you can do is when you create it, before you go, after you've saved it, before you go and put anything in, if I get out of here and I go over and I go to the F drive and I find it, and what did I call this? Test Wiz. and I go in here and go to my bin and go to my debug and just put one in there, then I've got it in there. So I can just take and put a database in there, and that's my other way around it so that I don't have to. Although, interestingly enough, even when I did that, it would came back and asked me if I wanted to make a copy. So, my final solution after the wizard and I fought for a while was that you definitely want to do this do not copy. So add new data source, next, next, and what am I going to have in here? Okay, so new connection, and then you choose your server. So I'm choosing access, and then say continue, and then I am going to browse. And if I go down here and I find that and put it in, that's fine. I test the connection, and that's fine. I say okay. And then I go next. And at this point is when it comes up with that copy. Okay, so I tried clicking no, and it basically seemed to ignore me. So in this case, I didn't make a copy of it, so I'm going to click yes, and then say next, and then I want to do the drive table, we'll say, and then I'm going to finish. And then I've got the data set, and I want to make very sure that I come in here. And why is it set to do not copy? I did say yes, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Make sure that's set to do not copy. That's, I guess, all. I'm not sure what I did when I was talking, that it went to do not copy, because usually it goes to copy always. Okay. Ah, it didn't copy always. Sorry. Thinking about it, suddenly it dawned on me. Dawn broke on Marblehead. It's not the data set that you're worried about. It's the database itself. So click on donor, and now it says copy always. I hadn't even noticed that I'd clicked on that. So you want to change that to do not copy. Okay, so you want to make that a do not copy if you're going to update. Otherwise, the update works just fine until you go and open it again and it makes a new copy and wipes out what you previously did. So you want to be very sure that you did that. I guess a bigger question is why in God's name they would have an update where they actually do that and say, we're going to copy every time you run. But, you know, a little bit of insanity going on there. Okay, so now if you click on and bring up a grid, for example, Yeah, right. Yep. There we go, grid. If you do the grid, you can do this. This says, I want to enable adding, I want to enable editing, I want to enable deleting. You want those checked if you're going to be doing maintenance. Okay? If you don't want to be able to allow people to add, change, or delete, then you can make those go away. I've just tended to leave them checked as a default, but you don't have to. Okay? And so you can then bind it, and you can come over here and do your binding. Drive 2000 was the one I selected, and I can bind Drive 2000 to it.
We've been mostly using, well, I mean, we've been only using Access, but when utilizing one of the other database types, either through, say, Microsoft SQL Server or through Oracle. I'm curious if Microsoft had the foresight to stop you from, when you're doing your default settings, being able to put in SQL injection codes to get beyond servers so that you can just make an executable, launch it, and then pop it as a base server.
I don't remember. The ones I've played with is I've played with MDFs, which are SQL Server, and I don't remember. But SQL Server you have. It kind of comes with you, or if not, you can download it for free, so feel free to play with it after you get your homework done. But anyway, I've played with SQL Server. I have not played with anything else. That's the only other one I've played with.
I didn't notice
a lot of differences, huh?
I'm in no way saying that I'm going to be using SQL to try and break new servers. Theoretically.
You mean the recording is making you say? Okay. So basically you're the same and then you just kind of continue on. And I have a bunch of, if I want to come over here and put in the table and it's the drive and the drive number, I can drag it over. Hello?
Apparently not.
Yeah, I can. Didn't I pick drive? Yes. I'm supposed to be able to drag that over, right? Yeah. Because I connected to Donor ACCDB.
Yep.
I've got drive 2000 was the one I chose. I didn't check them individually, but I shouldn't have to check them individually because I checked the whole. Okay, why can't I drag that over?
Drug node is there.
If I make the grid go away. Okay, wait a minute. What did I do when I was... I hate the wizard. Do you get the impression that I hate the wizard? All right. Back over to this one that is actually working. I have both of those there. So how did I do that? These are... That's a field. And that's a field that doesn't have anything in it. Okay, so this has the data in it. So those are just fields. So that doesn't answer my question. I'll look at the wizard in a few minutes to see how to go on, but I want to go on with the update. These are just empty fields, okay? And I put those up there to do the insert because the fields that I have are four different records. Now, I should have labeled them. I was being lazy. This is the ID number. This is the drive number. This is the date, and that's the amount of the contribution, okay? So those are my fields.
If you do the drag over your names, it creates the label for them.
So yeah.
It's not a...
And I'll go back, as I said, in a minute we'll go back and look at those. But I want to make sure I get through this part, and then I will go and we'll have another fight with the wizard. All right. But I want to make sure I get through this one. So I am going to say... I want to add 33333, and I want to make it 123, and I'm going to make it 12 2003, and I am going to add $303 and hit an insert. And I don't like... There it is, but it came so fast that I almost didn't see it. The time was bothering me. So there it is. There's 3333123, and there's the whole thing, and it's been added in. Okay? So there is my insert, and I've added the record in, and it's just fine. And if I go back out and run it again, you can see that the record is still there. So it did the insert because the record is still there. Okay, now, I had to actually add some code to make that happen. Okay, so I actually went in and did this code that they told me to do in the book, and I did an insert, okay, and I did the insert, and I said, okay, go to me donation table adapter, insert into it the ID number, the drive number, the date, and the amount of the contribution, and then do a fill. And so this is the way they want to do it. When I wrote my own code, I did an update, but I was just doing an update. This one, they're saying they want me to do an insert into the data adapter and to do a fill. But it doesn't automatically do that, so I have to have a button that does the insert, the change, and the delete. Okay, so I've written that. The line up above, the form load, it did automatically. It generated that code. So that code up at the top, it generated. Okay, the wizard generated that. But this code here, I wrote. Okay, so then I went over and I said, okay, now I would like to do it so that I can change and delete. And the wizard and I had long discussions about this. But I think I've got it now so that it actually is a working version. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is this donor ACCTV. I did far too much playing. Notice that that is giving me an error. But in fact, it's working. If I come in here and I load the form, there's my form, and it's the same form as the other one. It's just that I've added a delete button, a change button, and a done button. Okay, so I added those three buttons. And if I run this, it is working. Okay, and in this case, I decided to make the done button and the cancel not available. So why I didn't make the cancel available, I'm not quite sure. But anyway, I've got it set up now so that I've got a delete and a change. So it's clearly got the database, but I've got that diamond on the database. Okay, let me see if I can explain this. What I did And this is probably more information than you'll ever need to know, but anyway. Okay, notice this was the donor. And when it does the copy thing, it was keeping a copy here and it was keeping a copy in the bin in the debug. So I changed this and put a Y in front of it. And that's why it's yelling at me. Because it can't get the thing that it wants to use in doing its copy thing. Because I've now changed the name of it. It works just fine because up in the bin debug, I have the donor, and that's the one it's actually using. So it's more than happy to go ahead and run it, but it's giving me this diamond thing because it doesn't have it the same file down there. It doesn't have a copy. It doesn't have the two copies that apparently when it was copying, it was putting stuff down there. So I changed the name of this because I wanted to see which one it was actually using. I assumed it was using the one in the debug. So I changed the name of this to play with it. And when I changed the name in it, then it gave me the little diamond on the Downra thing. So I found this all just kind of interesting, and I started following the Primrose Path and kind of trying to figure out what was going on. Not sure that I actually did, but I at least got some clues. Okay, so now if I come in and do not copy, I also change there. And I thought that that might then make it happy and make it the diamond go away, but it didn't. If I go down and take that Y out of the donor, then the diamond goes away. Okay. Just a piece of, and I appreciate, Max, that you have not asked me the questions that... This was, as I said, more plain than anything else. And I don't know why I did the playing around with it to the extent that I did on the read-onlys. But I decided to make the buttons go away. I think we had talked about that in class, that it would be nice if I made certain buttons. So my, and I changed the forms up there for a read-only.
Yeah, your insert was way different than ours.
What?
Your insert was way different than ours.
Yes.
There's a lot more work out there.
Yeah. Okay. So I now have a change. So if I click on that and I click on change, it fills it in with that particular record, but it makes these things read only because I don't want to change the key. Okay, because the records are organized by key, and the reason I made these read-only is I wasn't thinking, and I made a change, and it got me into a lot of trouble if I was changing the key. Because changing the key means I'm not really changing the record, I'm making a new record. And so I said, okay, then obviously I'm going to, and I knew better, it's just I did it. So I decided to make, I made those read-only, then I can't change them. And that's a good technique to use. The only thing I can change is amount. And donation, that's the only field that's not part of the key. If I had the donor, where the key is just the one donor ID and all the rest of the fields can be changed, I could go ahead and change them. But on donation, the only field that I can change that's not part of the key is the amount.
So if you change part of it that is the key, it completely sees it as a new record and you'll still have
and
it,
I don't remember what error I got, but it was not happy with me. Because you're basically a change is you're indicating that, you know, if I hit the insert button, if I changed it and then hit the insert button, then it would insert a new record. So I could have put in here some if code that said, okay, when I put the record up there, held the information, then done a comparison, and if the information in the keys had changed, make it an insert, otherwise make it a change.
Do you currently have it written so that if you do something that makes SQL upset, it's going to spit back the SQL error, or is this one that just crashes?
I think it's one that just crashes. I don't remember, to tell you the truth. There's not a lot of SQL floating around in this one. Okay, so if I want to change that and make it 700, then I have already, the change was what brought it up there. The done executes it. And with a little bit of luck, okay, what did I just change? Apparently I changed that one. That one must have been the one I clicked since it's now 700. You know, I should get to the point of, well, no, because I've already done a 777. So I click on the done to make the change. And then if I want to delete a record, I click on it and say, delete. Do you really want to delete this record? Yes. And then it tells me the record that I'm deleting. Because I just put up the message box so you could see the record I'm deleted. I'm saying okay, and whatever record it was that I just hit on is now gone. Okay.
So if you hit change because insert isn't then disabled, it'll try and insert based off of what the information that it just put into the boxes are?
Say that one more time.
So when you hit change.
Yes.
The insert button is not disabled. So by pressing insert at that time, that information that was put in there by the change is now going to attempt to...
Yeah, because the change, I don't think really... I honestly don't know. I kind of said that you could hit an insert, but I guess I'd have to check my code and make sure.
But I mean, it'll give you the error because you're trying to insert something with the same key.
But if I change the key, then it wouldn't.
But you can't change the key when you've hit change because it pulls it up with those read only.
Right. Okay, I thought you were talking. Never mind. Never mind. Okay, so the way that, and this is, the other day, you know, I was ranting and raving about Microsoft's help being difficult to use, and it was this that was driving me absolutely crazy. So basically, I had to, when I was inside here, I could say, go to the current row, take cell 0 and put it in the ID. Take cell 1, take cell 2, take cell 3. And then when I'm all done, I am hitting the done button, and the done button is what's actually doing the update. Okay, so the done button is what's actually doing the update. And notice it's got an update. So it's actually doing the update. So when I click on the done, it's actually doing the update. Then what I did is I took a filter. And I filtered it out and put all that information together and then did a select. So here's where I have the select. But I did a select based on that. And don't I have a message box here someplace? But I'm basically doing the select, and the select is finding that record and adding that information. So I'm saying here, donation row of the donor data set of this particular table, do a select that has DID number, D drive number, D date, and setting those things to that text box. And then I said, okay, now put in the amount that you put in, and then do an update. And this is the one that I went nuts trying to figure out how to do, and there's got to be some easier ways to do it. But this is the way that I ended up being led to. And then I did an update, and it worked. And when I did a delete, I did the current rows things again, and did a donor row delete. And it did an update. So this is the way I did it when I was inside the wizard. What I want you to do is play around with an update. And we'll go back and try what we were talking about. I've given you a couple of different ways that I've done it. basically, I want you to try to do an update. I think the easiest way is not using the wizard. I think the easiest way is following that update that I gave you right at the beginning of the class today. I think that one's a real easy way to do it. I think the one that we looked at last time that simply doesn't insert, if you add and a delete to that one was a real easy one. That one was this one. Look up add. Okay. So on this one, I did an add and then I did the update. What you have to remember is that you have to figure out how to do a delete and a change, and I put those in another one, in the add delete one, and how to do an update. This one's going to take some playing, but we're basically at the end of the tunnel, so you've got some time. If you don't get this in a week, don't worry about it. This one I honestly think is going to take a little bit of time because you're really, I've kind of given you a variety of ways you're going to have to kind of play with them and see if you can figure out a way that will make it work. I think I would, in all honesty, do the insert first and then kind of get that done and go and do the add, delete, and the change can kind of happen automatically, as you saw. You only have to make sure that you've done an update when you're done. So basically, try it. Yeah.
The other ADO we did in the class.
Pardon me?
The other ADO we did in the class, the first project, had the operators where equal sign and then minus or something like that to move from the director to the operator director.
Yes, you can either. It depends on how you want to do it. I did it with a currency manager in one of them. In this one, I've got this code where I've written the code. You can use to move from record to record, you can either use a currency manager or you can write your own code for your own buttons.
And that currency manager uses those operators.
Yes, the currency manager, you know, has the plus equals, minus equals, which means add one and subtract one. This one, I wrote my own code to move forward and backward. Okay. So, essentially, you can go either way. I think the biggest challenge you're going to have is kind of deciding on a style and then sticking with it. Pick one of my models. Pick a model from the book if you want to. But once you've got a model, I would kind of stay with it. Now, last week I asked you to simply do an insert. And if you want to, you can go back and modify that so that it also does a change and a delete. Okay? I think I gave you an assignment last week where I said I wanted you to do an add because we'd looked at the adds. So I said update start, and I said finish this program so you can add... Oh, no, I did have you do. Add a drive, remove a drive, and change information about the drive. You know what? I thought I had just told you to do an add. You're all set then. Woohoo! You've got a twofer going on there. I thought I had just told you to do an add down here. But if I've got you doing an add... Because I hadn't covered change and delete. So you can go with that one if you want to. Okay. And then I also asked you to do some queries up here. So to write a program that does some queries. So this one, if you open it, okay, that's that one, and I've given you, I think, the layout of a form. If you want to change it, feel free. But I thought I had just told you to add. I should listen to myself. But since I didn't, all I want is an update from you. I want something that can add, I want something that can change, and I want something that deletes. Okay, so back to the wizard. And people, how many of you have played with the wizard? I'll tell you what, I'll give you extra credit since I did two. I'll give you extra credit if you do it once with the wisdom and once without it. So if you want to play with it and then modify it, I'll give you extra credit because I think that would be good. Yeah, do it once with the wizard and once without. Or you can do a different update. Up in week 12, I basically told you that I wanted you to do a update. And as I said, I thought I had just set an ad down here, but you can definitely turn that into an update because I told you to. And what I'm saying is, I will give you extra credit if you do it once with code and once with the wizard. Okay, but that's extra credit. So if you do an update of some kind with the wizard and an update of some kind without the wizard, I will give you extra credit. And play around with it. I mean, I keep finding when I play with these things that, especially when I play with the wizard, I learn a lot. And I'm not real sure that I really want to learn some of it, like that making a copy thing. Not one of my favorites. So, I'm going to start a wizard. So, I'm going to say file new, keep trying. The one thing we have left to do is, as I said, doing this on the web. And we're going to do that next week, starting next Thursday. I'm pretty much wound down. I do not give give you any work on the 14th week. And I'm trying to get down so that I won't give you anything beyond do the wizard online. I'll do the online coding. So, I've got a form now, right? So, I want to say data, add new data source. And now I'm saying next. I'm going to say next. I'm going to say new connection. I am going to... Yes, I've got an access database. You want to make sure that that says access and that it doesn't say one of these others. Okay? So I've got my access database. The database table I'm going to use is going to be this donor one that I've got right here. Open that. Test the connection. It's working just fine. Okay, next, the connection you selected, I'm making the copy. Then I'm saying next, I'm going to come in here and pick a table, and I'll pick the donation because it has the fewest fields. Okay, so now I'm going to check them all, but that shouldn't make any difference, but just because I'm paranoid, I'm checking them all. Because essentially... Before, I had checked a table, and that, I believe, gives you the automatic checks on them. Actually, let's find that out. If I uncheck everything, and then check. Yeah, it does. All right. So I've got the automatic checks there, and now I'm saying finish. Okay? So I've got it now set up. If I come over here and look at my data sources, I have the donation. Exactly what did I do differently this time than I did last time? I put the grid on first last time. It shouldn't have cared. But now it's happily going, and I've got the data going over. And if I run this, it's made the connection. I've got the 14 records, and I can go through, and it's showing me all the records. Why that didn't happen the last time, I have no idea. Now, if I want to show them, I'm curious, if I want to show them also in a grid, I can put up my data grid, and there's my data grid, and at this point, it hasn't made a connection, so there's my data grid. If I click on that little arrow over there, then I can choose my data source. So I come in here, and I pick, you can do others, or I got the donation is already there, and there it is. All those are checked. And it's giving me the information both in the text boxes and the grid, which obviously I don't particularly want to have everything in both, but I was just trying to make the connections. There I would. You definitely get extra credit if you use the wizard because it's built-in frustration. Questions? And you don't write the code exactly the same way. I mean, that's the other part that drove me crazy, is it was saying, I want you to write the code, and I went back and wrote the code the way I wrote the code, and it didn't like the way I wrote the code, so I had to write the code its way. And that presents a challenge. Okay, I am done. Tuesday, we are going to have a class in here, no class, so people can come and go as they want. And then...